interesting. Like Carol said, we had the mornings, and no, it wasn't a Costa ship, by the way. It was a celebrity that we were on. And so, how many of you heard about the one that sank off Italy? I guess you all did and saw those pictures. But don't let that worry you. The one that's going in March with Catch the Fire is going to be amazing, Steve. It's going to sail out and back home again. And so it's all going to be fantastic. But it's interesting that even on board these ships, there's active ministry happening among the waiters. And we were able to meet with a young man who leads a Christian ministry on the ship. And he's from Honduras, which is where we're about to go. And this is a whole stack of coincidences. It won't take time to tell you. But anyway, we're going to Colombia for a leader school and then on to Honduras to meet up with some of the generals there, and especially the chief of staff who we met in Colombia last March, who wanted prayer and went out under the power, and all kinds of good things are happening to him. So it was just a really neat tie-in. And so we're just happy to be back and ready to celebrate our 18th anniversary of revival coming up.
Woo! Come on.
Hallelujah. So I hope you all join us. So thanks, everybody. God bless you. And Wayne and Irene, are you guys here somewhere? Give me a wave. Wayne and Irene, did you make it this morning? All right. They're in our school. They're the couple that were really helpful for Carol getting her healing a couple of years ago. But anyway, Steve.
Great. Well, it's good to be on a two-week cruise. I'm looking forward to that enjoyment, John.
Yeah, well,
Sandra and I...
You have to be 70.
No, I don't have to be 70. I can be a little younger than that. I am 54, and Sandra and I, on Friday, I was telling people at the Friday night meeting, I got an email on Friday. John, there's a captain. He's a Welsh gentleman that comes here occasionally. There's many of you know there's a gal named Larissa McDonald that used to be part of our church, joined Jubilee in Stratford. And she used to be a Broadway singer in New York and all that kind of stuff. Well, she went on a cruise ship line in one of the high-end ones in the Mediterranean, which is where she met her husband, who's a South African waiter. And so anyways, long story short, the captain of the ship and Larissa were doing the Holy Spirit meetings on the ship for the crew. And he likes to come. And last year, he was at our Pastors and Leaders Conference. So he's been trying to get our church to start doing our cruises that we do on his ship line. So the tease is that Sandra and I have been invited for 12 days, John. So it's almost 14. Almost 14. Maybe I need to be 55, John. I will be 55 by the time we do that. Anyway, so we're going to be taking a tour in July from Dover, England, all the way around. Or I guess it's going this way around. Anyways, it's going one of the ways around and coming back to Dover. And it's a themed cruise, John, visiting historic Celtic centers and having lectures on the ship and all that kind of stuff. So I have volunteered to do a Celtic healing meeting for all the passengers. And so we're trying to schedule for Steve Long to show them what it was like, because the Celts were operating in signs and wonders like crazy. And I would like nothing better than have 400 pagans, maybe not all pagans, but people who don't know Jesus, in a healing meeting explaining this is how St. Patrick healed the sick, all that kind of stuff. So anyways. Very good. Well, last week we launched our vision statement for this year, which is to expand God's kingdom by pursuing your presence. And I used the wrong phrase there. It's expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. And if you're here last week, we had a video to show, and then John Bootsma was following up on that. And we have purposely tried to change. We chose the words expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence, so that you have to make it personal. It's not expanding his kingdom and you put it up to someone else who's going to do this on your behalf. Yeah. We're trying to make it very personalized. And so today we're going to look at the aspect of pursuing the kingdom, pursuing the presence. And then in a couple of weeks, John Bootsman is going to be doing the next talk in the series on pursuing his kingdom. Get it right. Sue, if you're able to put my notes up, one of the things we're going to do this morning is at the end for our ministry time, I'm going to invite all those who are the cell team, or not cell team, cell leaders, Jesus, heal my tongue this morning, please. I brushed my teeth with a new toothbrush, so maybe that's the problem. It's one of these vibrating ones, and I'm not used to all that kind of stuff. So my tongue's a little, anyways. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. Anyways, after the morning meeting, cell leaders, ministry team, prophetic team, healing room team, if you'd like to help us, we're planning to have everyone who would like prayer to stand in the lines, and we're just going to have an impartation to pick up the presence of God and for every one of us to make this a personal thing. So that's our intent. So are we ready to go for my PowerPoints? Yes, no? Okay, why is it looking like that? Ben, are you going to fix that for me? Okay, so you can't see this, but if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And if you remember, in November, we had a medical doctor here by the name of Arnie Elson. And Arnie, I felt, had one of the clearest prophetic words for our church. He's not a pastor, he's a medical doctor. And if you were not here, here's a gentleman that is seeing 100 people healed per week, 10 cancer people healed per week, and his secret is that he does not give pills. All he does is ministers to people and prays for people. Up to 300 people a day is who he prays for. And in this passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, is the things that the Lord spoke to him about that were the absolute keys for pushing into the presence of God. Thank you there, Ben, that's perfect. And so here's these three verses, very short. Rejoice, how often? Always. Pray, how often? Continually. Give thanks in what circumstances? And look at the next little phrase. Is this God's will or is this not God's will? There are very few passages in the Bible that say this is absolutely one of the priorities of God. And so for those of you who like to go deep, those of you who like the meat of the word of God, this is one of those passages right here. And it's like Paul is getting as simple as he can. Folks, if you want to really know some secrets, here's some secrets. And Arnie Elson, this amazing German doctor, has just been seeing the evidence of it. And so Carol and John met him a year and a half ago. And Carol came back with a buzzer, a 10-minute little that she programs for every 10 minutes. So most of you heard about that 10-minute buzzer. And she still has it. I have a smartphone with an app that goes every 10 minutes. And just let me show you where I'm at right now. It is an egg timer one. It looks like an egg timer in mine. And right now, I've just finished I just had a beep, and I'm at 1 minute now. So I got 9 more minutes before. It actually doesn't go. It just sort of. And the whole intent is that if we're going to be doing these things always, continually, all circumstances, somehow we need to be reminding ourselves. And so we're going to get into an application in just a moment talking about that. But these passages, I think, are very, very profound. Very simple, straightforward, but profound. So when we talk about rejoicing, we're talking about the word joy. You'll notice that the word joice in the rejoice means to continue to joy, is what the intent is. Continue to joy. And joy is a choice. It is not based on circumstances. Happiness is based on things going well. Did you know that? How are you doing? Well, I'm happy. Good. That means things are going well. Being joyful is something that you do not have to be in a good circumstance to choose to do. And that's what we're called to do. In the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 68, we have this amazing verse that says, "But may the righteous be glad and rejoice," seemingly to say you're allowed to be happy, you're allowed to be smiling, but you also are to be rejoicing, and may they be happy and joyful. It's using both phrases. And it's implying that in the good and the bad, we have a choice. And the follower of God is to choose to rejoice. Yes? Let's keep going. This is one of the most shocking verses in the Bible in my understanding of how bad it could get. So Habakkuk is saying this. Let's pretend you're a farmer. Though the fig tree does not bud, that means no figs, no grapes in the vines, that means no wine. Though the olive crop fails, means no cooking. The fields produce no food, no eating. There's no sheep in the pen, that means no meat to eat. and no cattle in the stalls, no milk, no meat, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That is a pretty over-the-top farmer. Would you agree? In spite of catastrophe, this psalm writer is saying, Habakkuk is saying, we have a choice. We can still be joyful. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Great, great passage. So it's possible for us to make a choice. And we're going to pray that into us today, that when we're receiving an impartation from the Holy Spirit today, that something stirs in us, that even when it's negative, we're able to rejoice. So I was really glad that Beirut shared his little story of a little turnaround, you know, thinking that things are bad. And okay, this is a letter from Ottawa, from the Canada Revenue Agency, and usually those are not the best letters. And at least that's what we're thinking. And here it was, no, God's wanting to bless him. And God's able to turn things around. Ed, can you tell your story in 2 minutes of your pension? What you sent me? Yeah, you, Ed. Come on up here, Ed. So let me just give an introduction. Ed's a business guy, and he, if I get it right, he sells real estate franchises. He doesn't sell property, he sells, would that be correct, Ed?
Yes.
That kind of stuff. And he was just about to retire in November, December, and the company that he's working for, which is a U.S.-based company, are still having problems, and they met with him basically to say, we're sorry, but we cannot give you the million-plus dollars that you are owed and as part of your severance, part of your retirement.
I guess just to correct it is a Canadian company out of Toronto, which is fine. The company was struggling, and they were going to sell off regions, and I was kind of in the way because they owed money out of those, so they talked about canceling my whole plan, and because they were looking at going broke. And I first said to them, because the Lord had a word from first from Isabel Allam during the conference here, and the Lord told us that all our finances were going to be released to us. And so when I met with them, I said, you can't go broke. You owe me $2.1 million. And they were astounded that I would boldly say that to them. In any case, then I had some counsel from Michael Manford and a few other people. And they, at that point in time, they said, just don't do anything. And I didn't do anything. Then the Lord impressed on me to submit my resignation, which I did. And I wrote out exactly how I wanted my monies paid out over the next 15 years. And they agreed and gave us the victory. And there's a whole lot after that that's happening now. And the Lord showed me that he wanted the revenue from the Atlantic Canada region for the ministry. So we're pursuing that right now and just waiting on him.
Yeah, very good. It's very, very good.
So I love this kind of stuff because, like, Ed and Angie came and had, like they said, can we meet with Sandra and I just to share what's going on and to pray. And the very restaurant that we're meeting, which is our little favorite restaurant in the area, here Darren Clark, our children's pastor, is meeting with Michael in the very same restaurant. We just passed them as we're coming in. It's like, okay, God's got something here. Mike, do you want to stand up? You're somewhere over here today. There's Mike. So Mike is a business guy. He used to be on Bay Street. He used to be one of Canada's number one economists for like 10 years in a row. He knows a little bit more about finances than I do. And is it a shock that Michael just happens to be in the restaurant? You can sit down now, Mike. I owe you lunch. It's like, I don't know what Ed and Angie are going to share. I don't really know too much about them. I know that they smile. I know they sit over here. I know they bring friends to church. And he's talking about this kind of challenge, and it's, well, you know what? Right over there is a guy that knows this better than I do. How about we just see if God's in this? And the trusting of God when everything looks bad, that's what's called rejoicing. Does that make sense? Let's stretch your hands toward Ed, because he's got a project, that an opportunity for him to buy another company that would, can I tell him how much profit would be?
It's actually the region for the same company for Atlantic Canada, right. And it's $1.5 million to buy.
$1.5 million to buy with a profit of $500,000 a year.
That's correct.
That's pretty good, isn't it? So Father, we're asking that Ed would get that cash, that it would come right away, that it would come easily, quickly, and that Dad, in the whole process, that Ed's able to rejoice in spite of good and bad and all those other kind of things in between. Bless this man in Jesus' name. Thank you, Ed. Very, very good. I love those kind of stories. Let's keep going. Sue, can you be up on the screen? Very good. Okay, number two, we pursue God. We push into God's will. We pursue God when we're praying. And this passage says, pray continually. So prayer is talking to God, a talk to God. Praying is a conversation. It's an ongoing, it's keeping in his presence. It's a lifestyle. And this passage would seem to say that we're supposed to be doing this always, like continually. And so this is one of our challenges, is it would appear that Paul is saying that prayer is not just a welcome God in the middle of your meal or before your meal. It's not just a when I wake up, when I go to bed, saying a prayer. But we're supposed to be in a atmosphere, in a consciousness of talking to God all day long. And so this is one of the reasons why we're going to talk about these little buzzers and beepers in just a moment, is usually most of us, we get too busy to be able to do these kind of things, even though we know they're good. We're just too busy with life, with other things going on. And so how do we remind ourselves, and how do we get into a discipline of doing those kind of things? In the Old Testament, we have a gentleman by the name of Daniel. Remember Daniel? He's a wise guy. He, not just a wise guy, it sounded like he's a mafia guy, and he's not one of those. He is a man full of wisdom. And he had one of the most unique positions, that he was a counselor. He was an advisor for three different nations, three different kingdoms. And God just used this man in government. And it says, when Daniel learned that a decree had been published, which is that you now only pray to the king, what's his name? Darius. Was it Darius? I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, one of those guys. You can only pray to this guy, who is not a godly man. If you saw the movie, the movie 300, these are not godly people that Daniel is giving advice to. And you have to pray to him. When he hears that this has been made a decree, he goes home to his upstairs room where his windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God. Just that little phrase, thanks, that's coming up as well. Just as he had done before. A couple quick things about Daniel and his prayers. Number one is that he had consistent prayer times, that this passage says. It seems like his habit of praying is known by other people. Even those who don't like him know that he's a man of prayer. And that's actually what they felt was his Achilles heel, is, oh, he prays all the time. So we can pass a law, no praying, or only praying to Nebuchadnezzar, we can get this guy. Even, is it Darius? Okay, thank you. We have Bible scholars in the front looking it up. I probably should have done that myself, shouldn't I? As part of his time, he makes a point to be grateful. And that little phrase of giving thanks is part of his prayers. And it would appear that because he consistently kept with this habit, even when the going was going tough right now, God's able to do a miracle. God is the rewarder of those who do what? Good. That was my phrase. God's the rewarder of those who do good. And when we do the right thing consistently, God's into that. Now, the last little thing in this, when we pursue God, is that we're to be thankful. And it says, give thanks in all circumstances. So the rejoicing part is a choice, good and bad, I'm going to rejoice. The praying consistently, all the time, being in that sort of atmosphere. And here we have a clear word, give thanks in all circumstances. So this is Ed giving a little testimony. This is Beirut giving a little testimony. This is God, as we begin to announce to ourselves, to our spouses, to our best friends, to our classmates in school, to our people in our work environment, as we begin to announce to people, I am making a choice that yes, it's a bad day, but God's still good. On Friday night, we just had some people give some random testimonies, and there's a young man named Brooke that goes to our Newmarket campus. He's probably about 25 years of age, and his company is in receivership. And so he is, you know, receivership means that there's the banks usually have stepped in, some other companies stepped in to try to save everyone's job, and maybe different managers can make it work. And so he knows his company's in receivership. Last Monday, a week ago, so 6 days ago, he shows up to work on Monday morning and no one's there. Parking lot's empty. It seems like everyone else has known that the place went bankrupt over the weekend and no one told him. So he's there. He gets out his cell phone. He phones three different managers and bosses. Can't get a hold of anyone. And he goes, okay, I'm out of a job. Goes home. By the time he gets home, he's got a phone call from a former employer to say, you'd be the perfect person for a new job I have. The phone message is waiting for him. He gets home and his dad said, oh, by the way, there's a phone message for you. He phones. He's got a new job starting the next day, $2 more an hour. That's good, isn't it? These are the benefits of doing God's will. Is that when it, and it almost always happens this way, we have to make choices, and when we make the choices, then God's the rewarder of those who do good. It usually doesn't start out with you get your miracle and then you pray. Because most of us don't do the praying afterwards. We say, oh, thank you. Oh, that's amazing. And then 2 days later, we forgot about amazing and we're now into grumbling again. It's how it goes, isn't it? Sue, back up if you don't mind. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there was actually a sacrifice? One of the fellowship offerings was a give your time to be thankful. Notice in the sacrifice that you're to give, it's thick loaves of bread with yeast. So this isn't the same as we're escaping out of Egypt, we don't have time to let the bread rise. This is, we are going to take our time and get real thick bread, really good thick bread. Any of you had warm homemade bread out of the oven? Is that not almost worth selling your firstborn son for? I would never think about that more than a couple times. But that's the whole idea, is for you to take not just like bread that's just been in the oven, just real short. We didn't really bake it well. No yeast in it. There's no flavor. This is, we're being extravagant with God right now. Do you remember Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16? Have they had a good day when they're in jail in this passage? Would not appear to be a good day. They have been beaten, even though they happen to be Romans, and you're not allowed to beat a Roman before a trial. And so they're here in jail, and they're put in an inner cell, the Bible says, and fasten their feet in stocks. What this means is you can't kick the rats away. That's what that means. So rats are going to be nibbling at your toes and your feet all night long, and you're not going to be having a good experience in jail. That's what that means. And in spite of that, at midnight, they decide this would be a real good time to start singing, to start praising the Lord, start being thankful. And it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Well, they got probably no choice as well. They're locked up too. They may have also been in the stocks. So maybe they're singing and just to keep the rats away. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what Daniel was doing when he was in the lion's den, but somehow the lions lions. Okay, it was some sort of animals keeping its distance. Verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Do you like that little phrase that there's a shaking? It's like as he's worshiping, as he's praying, as he's giving thanks, God begins to work again. Do you see these things are happening more than once. What's that word? Sorry? Patterns. Yeah. Do you see these? Thank you. I'm blaming the toothbrush. Do you see this pattern over and over again? Is as people are praising, as they're rejoicing, as they're praying, that even in a negative situation, they're doing these things, and all of a sudden, God busts in, and shaking's taking place. It's good. All at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains come loose. I don't know how individual chains come loose in an earthquake. That does not make sense. I understand the ground shaking. I understand walls shaking. But I don't understand how the handcuffs are going to pop open in an earthquake. It would seem to be that if you've got handcuffs on you during an earthquake, you have less of a chance to survive because your hands are together, your feet are together, and you're being thrown. You get no balance. Can't grab onto things properly. And God does, it's not just an earthquake. This is a miraculous event of God. You understand that? That all of a sudden, everyone's chains come loose. And you know the rest of the story, that The jailer comes in and goes, oh my goodness, if anyone's escaped, that means I pay for it with my life, and he's about to kill himself. And Paul goes, hey, we're all still here. We just got interrupted in our prayer meeting. Really? And the guy's so shocked that he takes Paul and Silas to his house. His family gets saved. It's an amazing story, isn't it? God loves those kind of things. So a couple comments about this. They made a choice to give thanks and pray despite negative circumstances. Their being thankful is rubbing off onto the other prisoners, it would appear. They benefited from this miracle as well. And their being thankful contributed to that miracle just like Daniel's praying did. So wrapping up, doing these three things is God's will, yes or no? It's God's will concerning us, for us. Point to your neighbor and go, you and I are us. That's us. It's God's will concerning for you in Christ Jesus. So how can I remember, how do I discipline myself? And this is the challenge, church, because we all know that we're supposed to be nice. We all know we're supposed to pray. We all know that we're supposed to reflect Jesus. We know these things. How are we going to do it? That's the challenge. And Dr. Elson was very in our face. He was even more in our face with our staff when he was meeting with our church staff and basically saying, you're undisciplined. Now, for a German to say you're undisciplined, we understand that because Germans and BMWs and Mercedes, they're into details. And that's part of, if I can say it, it's part of the German culture is a little bit more disciplined than many other cultures are. But he's looking at Western people, and specifically he's looking at us and looking at this church. And he's saying, hold it, folks. I think you should, his word was, I think that we should have had more miracles, more of the presence of God. This is his first time to our church. He's going, everything I've heard of you, I was expecting more out of the discipline of your people. That was a little bit of a slap in the face, wasn't it? I was sitting in the front row when he's talking to our staff. I was sitting with him when he was talking to our pastors. I was sitting in the front row when he's talking to us as a church, and I'm knowing I'm getting slapped, and I'm going, I think I need it harder, please. Because I recognize this is a Steve Long problem as well. And so the challenge is, how do we do this kind of thing? So it's getting our schedules out, putting some time in there. It's getting a beeper or a buzzer, and you can get the beepers in our resource center when they're not sold out, and we're always not able to get enough. You can go to any kind of electric store and get a beeper. Most of the beepers, though, don't have an automatic reset. You've got to reset it. So the ones we sell just constantly go all the time. You can get a phone app. My phone app is 99 cents if you have a smartphone to get an egg timer kind of thing that just every 10 minutes and it just goes. I told people I'm trying to be just a little bit better than Carol. Mine goes 9 minutes, 59 seconds. That's not true, Carol. That's not true. It's not true at all. And can I encourage you, how many of you come from a Catholic background? Did any of you used to pray with prayer beads? The positive of the prayer beads in the Catholic tradition was it reminded people of different prayers to pray. So I'm not encouraging to pray those prayers, because I know some of those prayers were to Mary and people like that that really don't answer your prayers. However, the discipline of the prayer beads was a very important thing. And it was to help people to remember to pray, and not just to pray one prayer, but to pray 40 prayers. And so if that's your tradition, can I encourage you to pick that up maybe again, not with the different prayers, but change the prayers to pray to Jesus, to invite the Holy Spirit, those kind of things. However you need to do it, I think it needs to be a choice for us to get disciplined in this area. Is that all right? To pursue the presence of God is a choice. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. So I'd like you to stand. We've got three prayers to say as a group, and then we're going to have a ministry time that we'd like to have our prayer ministry team, John and Carol, Mary Audrey, Sandra, myself, John Bootsma, our prophetic team, healing room team, cell leaders. We'd just like to come along and just pray an impartation that this year, 2012, is a year that we take this serious, because here's our theory. As we're pursuing God's presence, his kingdom is going to expand. All these stories were of kingdom stuff, miracles, signs, and wonders. Those things happen as a result of pursuing the presence of God. Does that make sense? So that's our emphasis this year as a church. So let's say this together. Father, I'm not sure that I'm doing a great job at this part of my Christian life. Please help get this part of my life in order. Father, can you help me to remember to make this a priority in my life? Wake me up, shake me up, stir me up. So the shake me up was the earthquake stuff. If it comes to that, are you okay? Would you like at midnight for your room to have an earthquake? The bed falls apart. Okay. Last prayer. Father, I choose to live a lifestyle of pursuing you by rejoicing, praying, and being thankful. I acknowledge that this is your will for me. Amen. So here's what I'd like you to do. Just stand there real quick. If I could get everyone who's on the prayer ministry team, everyone who's a cell leader, I don't want you to move yet. For those of you that are cell leaders, prayer ministry team, prophetic healing room team, that you serve in a ministry role in our church, I'd like you to just grab a catcher from right around you and just say, can you come and help me? And you're not going to miss out on prayer. So if you're one of these people and you need someone to help you and you haven't found someone around you, just put your hand up if you're on the ministry team today, a cell leader, and you don't have a catcher. Just recruit someone from right around you. Now, I understand that some people don't have a great back. So if you'd like to be a catcher, find someone who's got their hand up and go to them and say, I'll help you. So church, we have three lines underneath the flags over here. We have two lines at the back. We have a little bit of a line at the front. If you would like for our pastoral team and the ministry leaders in our church to just say, God, we're taking this serious this year. We're pushing into you. If you'd like that, how about you go and stand in one of the lines right now? If you prefer not to have someone minister to you this morning and want to stay in your chair, Jonathan's going to be leading us in a little bit of worship, and we're going to be able to just, I purposely preached a little shorter so that we're going to have some time just to push into God today. So you need to have your toes on a green line. So if you're coming to the front, toes on a green line. If you're going underneath the flags, toes on a green line. If you can't, sorry? Yep. If you can't get your toes on a green line, it means you need to move underneath the flags or head to the back. We're going to need to use all the spaces this morning. So we're full at the front now. We're full at the front. Head over to the side area if you'd like someone to pray for you this morning. John and Carol, do you have catchers yet? Sam? Yeah. Can you get John a catcher? Yeah. So those of you that are ministering, where's those that are praying for people? Hands up if you're praying for people. Great. Okay, there's a whole bunch of you there. Those of you that are in this section right here, can I get you folks to go to the back once you got your catchers? So we need about another five catchers. You will not miss out. Keep your hand up if you need a catcher. Prayer team, just maybe even go to someone who looks strong and say, can you help me? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be pushing into the kingdom of God. Help us to be pushing into the kingdom of God. Come, Holy Spirit. You can start. You're praying for basically an impartation that people can get into God's presence. So prayer team, I'd like you to take 30 seconds with each person and just ask for the Holy Spirit to come and make himself real for a stirring up of passion this year like never before, to be pursuing after God like never before. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome your presence, Daddy. So prayer team, again, about 30 seconds a person. Once we prayed for everyone quickly, we can come back and pray more.